family member with the idea that eventually it would be repurchased, and that person would be able to take control and ownership of that vineyard. And so based upon that, Naboth says, I can't even consider selling it. This is family land, and I am not able to do anything. Well, now selfishness rears its head here. Ahab, if he was a righteous, faithful king, he would have said, that's a shame. I really would have liked to have purchased that, but that is the law, and we must follow it. But Ahab was not that righteous, faithful king, and his selfishness begins to overtake him to the point where we're told he goes down and lays down on his bed, and the wording that at least the English Standard uses that he became vexen and sullen. Now, we don't necessarily, or vexed and sullen, we don't necessarily today say vexed, but you may hear everyone say, oh, someone's really sullen, but even then. But I think we all know what it is. He's sad, and we find out he's bitter, and he's angry about the situation. And so he says, we're told that he just lays down on his bed, and he won't eat a thing, and he's just having a little pity party for himself. We should be able to train ourselves and children that we may have in our family and so forth. This is a great example of teaching them not to be selfish. Not that when you don't get things, you don't get the way, get your way, to not throw yourself into a tantrum like Ahab is doing. When that happens, and when maybe it's us, when we don't get something we want and we become vexed and sullen, well, we're doing the same thing that Ahab is doing here, and that we need to look at that and realize that we're exhibiting selfishness, and that's not something that we can have. And people generally don't grow out of that way of thinking. If they become, I don't want to say entitled, but a lot of people feel that they should get their way. I think we all know people that probably got their way as children, and as they've grown up in life, they've continued to want to have things their way. And so here's Ahab, king of Israel, exhibiting this selfishness, truly acting like a two-year-old. I'm sorry, that's probably cruel to two-year-olds. He's acting like a one-year-old probably here. So we need to reflect on the fact, do we act like Ahab when we don't get our way? Is our day ruined like his is? And so we need to reflect on that. And so Ahab really just needed someone to come up and slap some sense into him, to talk him out of his sullenness, his vexedness. He's the king. He can have any, you know, he has everything he could ever want. And so if you can't have that vineyard, well, then I'm sure Naboth's vineyard didn't surround the palace. He could have built his own vineyard near the palace, or perhaps he could have built another palace. Whatever the case may be, he has all the manpower available to him. He could have had something built other than the vineyard that was there from Naboth. But he couldn't see that. He didn't try to think of any alternatives. He wanted that one thing, and he wasn't happy because he didn't get it. And so if we have that I want, I want, I want attitude, and we won't be happy until we get it, well, we have to understand that lack of contentment is born of selfishness. And we live in a time where most people are told you can have what you want, and people have those desires overtake them and fall into that selfishness. And so we have to stop and look at what we do have and realize the blessings that we've received from the Lord, and not focus on what we don't have and become angry about it. So I will read verses 8 through 16 here in 1 Kings 21. Now, remember, this is right after Jezebel had come in. Now, she had told him, you're the king. But didn't say, you're the king, you can have anything you want. She said, you're the king, you go take what you want. And so with that in mind, this is what Jezebel does next. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. And she sent the letters to the elders and the leaders who live with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth at the head of the people, and set two worthless men opposite him, and let them bring a charge against him, saying, You have cursed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death. And the men of the city, the elders and the leaders who lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, as it was written in the letters that she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. And the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him. And the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned, he is dead. As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. So, we're not told if Ahab really was knowledgeable or knew what Jezebel was going to do, but we know that Jezebel deceived others by writing this letter and saying it was from Ahab and using his seal. So the people who received it didn't know that it was from Jezebel. And I don't know what it says about Ahab, that this didn't seem too out of character, that they didn't seem to want to go and confirm this with Ahab to make sure, this is really what you want? It wasn't out of character for him, apparently. And so no one seemed to question it. And so she sends this letter out and she makes this plan to allow Naboth to fall, you know, under suspicion. And he was able to, they were able to kill him. And Ahab was able to rise up and take possession. I think it's also worthy noting that Ahab never questioned, well, how did he die? Was it a natural causes? Was it an accident? He doesn't care. The thing that was blocking him from the thing that he wanted was now gone. He was just happy, and we're told he was happy. Verse 16 tells him that he immediately went down and took possession of it. And so we have to think, will we do whatever we want to get the thing that we don't have? Now, I don't think many of us in here, if any, I would hope not any, would ever resort to setting someone up so that they would be killed and bumped out of their way. But hitmen are still a thing today. Obviously not a problem among us here this morning, but we're always hearing on the news of a sting operation where an undercover cop was asked by someone to kill their spouse or someone that was, you know, blocking them from what they wanted. So we have to think, though, yes, I'll stop at murder, but will I stop at lying about someone? Will I stop at cheating or swindling someone out of something that was theirs, that was not rightfully mine? We have to understand that those are things that people do every day, but it doesn't even have to be something like that. Are we going to sacrifice time spent with our families, time spent that we should be spending with our friends and so forth in order to accumulate things by maybe working longer than really you should to be there for your family? Providing for your family is one thing, but working in excess kind of with the goal of overcoming or to be able to accumulate wealth, to be able to buy something that you normally wouldn't, comes at the expense of your children, maybe, you know, growing up and not knowing who you are. That song, Cats in the Cradle, that we all know about, that's exactly what happened. He worked so much that the son never really knew his father. And so we do these things under the guise of everything of except what it actually is that we claim to be doing these things to take care of our family, take care of whoever it may be, but oftentimes the real reason just boils down to being selfish and having selfishness take over us. And so many people in this world want things and they don't care who they have to hurt to get it. They don't care about any injustices that take place because of their pursuit of whatever it is they wanted. And so they don't worry about that. They just want to be happy. And so we have to make sure that we are not falling under that same trap of justifying pursuit of something that we don't have and we should not have. So I'll continue then with verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood.' Ahab said to Elijah, 'Have you found me, O my enemy?' He answered, 'I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel the Lord also said, the dogs shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in a city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat." So I think the lesson we can get from this applies to us today as it applied to Ahab here in this account. We don't get away with our sins. In this case, this is a pretty complex sin. Many people were involved, and one of the things that that Nathan says to him is it Elijah. One thing that Elijah says to him is, "You've also brought this sin. You've involved others. Others have been caused to sin because of what happened here." And he's not getting away with it. Our sins might not be as public, they may not be as complex as what this sin was, but what we can take from this is that the Lord will know. No one gets away with their sin. God is able to know and see what it is that we do. And so the Lord tells Elijah to tell Ahab what's going to happen to him because of this injustice. Disaster is basically going to be brought upon the house of Ahab. His house will be slaughtered. There will be carnage. Jezebel will be eaten by dogs, and any member of his family will be eaten by dogs or birds. Regardless of where their death occurs, that will be the outcome. And so we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap of thinking we can get away with our sins, that, well, no one else knows about it. It's not going to hurt anyone else, but the Lord knows. And so he knows what we're doing. And we may think we can get away with it, and many people in this world think that they can get away with things, but we won't. Numbers 32, verse 23 reads, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." And so our sins are not hidden sins. And so we have to think of the other side of the event. Naboth is innocent. He didn't do anything deserving of the Lord of death. And in fact, he died because he was trying to be faithful to the Lord. He was following the laws of inheritance, and he was not allowed to sell. And so he was doing what he was supposed to do, and he died because he was faithful. Innocent people will die in this world. And that's another lesson we have to look here, that people will die for the right reasons. They are just caught up in the wrong place, or like Naboth, they stand between someone and what they want. And so we have to, you know, not fall into the trap, well, why would God allow this to happen? It's not God allowing it, it's sin. And good people get caught up in other people's sins all the time. But God is watching, and judgment is inevitable, whether it happens in this life or at the end of their life. They won't get away with these sins, and the people of God can have hope and have confidence in knowing that the Lord will take vengeance upon those that harm us. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." If we have faith in the Lord, then we have to understand that that passage applies to us even today. And I'm quickly running out of time, so let me read 25 through the end of the chapter, and I'll add some final notes. Beginning in verse 25, it says, "There was none who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel his wife incited. He acted very abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel." And when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house." Many people reading this might think it's quite, I don't say shocking, but surprising that despite this horrible, awful thing that Ahab done, just one of many that he's done in his life, the Lord says, "I will allow this to pass. He has humbled himself, and I will not bring this upon him. It'll come on future generations." And so someone reading this might get angry, saying, "Well, God, he deserved his punishment." But we have to look at that God is able to do this. Ahab had done, like I said, many other things. He had killed the prophets of the Lord. He had tormented Elijah prior to this. He had had this man killed, whether he was a party to the actual event or not. That's what happened because of his being upset about not being able to take possession of it. His wife played on that, and this man died. He had shown selfishness all throughout his life, and this is where it's come to this point. But we have a loving, compassionate God, and Ahab, it's not up to us to judge whether Ahab's remorse was truthful, you know, sincere. All we can read is that God decided to be humble, have mercy to him. And so his grace is revealed here. If we sin, God will accept us back. And of all the lessons we have from the mistake here of Ahab, that's the one that we should focus on. When we make our mistakes, we can go to God and be remorseful and ask for forgiveness. And that is what we can focus on when we do make mistakes in our own lives. That the mercy, the grace that is available for Ahab is also here for us today. And so, unfortunately, it appears from reading further on that Ahab's repentance didn't last. It wasn't a true repentance. But as time went by, he returned to his old ways because his wife hadn't repented or hadn't been remorseful. She was still there in his ear, inciting him to do these things. And so his passion that maybe he once had, and the thankfulness that he had from being passed over being destroyed over time, that had gone out and had gone away. And so we have to make sure that when we are forgiven, that we don't fall back into where we once had. And so everything that he was promised Ahab, we know occurred. We know Jezebel was eaten by dogs. I think she fell out of a tower and she died, and she was eaten by the dogs there in Jezreel. And so we have to look at these lessons that we can focus on in Ahab's life. And we have to realize we should not throw away the greatest gift that we could ever receive. And of course, that's the gift of salvation that was provided to us by Jesus' death on the cross. And we shouldn't trade that in for a vineyard or a car or a person, anything. We must devote ourselves each day to focusing on the Lord. And I'm a terrible habit of not looking at who has the prayer. I'll ask Brother Richard, would you mind to lead us in a prayer, and we'll be dismissed to our class.